Gabby Hayes. Dan, do you remember Gabby Hayes?
I do. I loved watching Roy Rogers.
You can YouTube, folks, Gabby Hayes. And I will say Ned, I'll say, does the best Gabby Hayes, but then I've never heard anybody do Gabby Hayes, so his is the best. And now, here is Outdoors Ned with Gabby Hayes.
Well, I don't know what it is, Rory.
Now, let's set up a scene where you can use that line.
Okay.
The scene is, I'll be Roy. And I've just ridden up on Trigger, and I found something along the trail, and I picked it up and brought it with me. Gabby, I found this out on the trail.
What in the world is that thing?
No. A while ago, you said, well, I don't know what it is, Roy. Now you changed the line.
Oh, you don't
want the same line.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is, Roy. Wait till I ask you the question.
All right.
Okay.
All right, sure.
Hey, Gabby, I was out riding the trail, and I saw this glistening in the sun. I picked it up, and I brought it in. What do you think this is, Gabby?
Well, I don't know what it is, Roy.
One of the great things about being old is we know people you don't know. We know people you don't know. And you don't even know what we're talking about. So he also had a sidekick, like a goofy guy. Roy, who was that goofy acting guy?
Pat Jennings or
Jenkins? No. Hold on. Pat, you're right. Don't anybody help us with this. Smiley Burnett.
Oh, Smiley Burnett.
Was that it?
But I thought you were talking
there
about...
There was
the,
a Pat.
He drove the Jeep. He drove Nellie Bell.
Yes, Pat, you're right, drove the Jeep.
Yeah.
Sajak. Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
Pat Brady. Pat Brady. So there was Bullet the Dog.
Dog.
Folks, these are the good old days that... You millennials like Limey here, you're never gonna get the experience.
I've heard somehow, like I've heard the name Pat Sajak, but I have
no.
Clue.
Hold on.
I don't
know.
I'm just saying.
Pat Sajak was a joke. That's the Wheel
Pat
of Fortune
Sajak
guy.
I'm serious. Somebody else has made that joke, and I've heard that name before.
Oh my goodness. No. The joke was Pat Sajak couldn't have been on Roy Rogers. He's not even old enough. Pat Sajak is the Wheel of Fortune guy.
I have no idea.
Okay,
what you're talking about.
Brilliant.
I'm completely.
Okay, so now I would also like now to create, and folks, I know this sounds like, these sound like scripts that were prepared and written and worked on for hours, but no, they're spontaneous. This is another movie scene where, Dan, who could we work? Oh, I know what we'll do. Dan, get your harmonica. I'll set the scene here.
All right.
It's an old black and white Western. Now, again, you youngsters out there, you're not going to have any idea what we're talking about, but the two characters starring in this movie that I just created are Gabby Hayes and Walter Brennan.
Oh, boy.
And they're sitting around the campfire, and you know your line, Gabby. Same line. Different movie.
They're going to think I only know one line.
Walter Brennan plays the part of Roy Hagland. Roy Hagland, an old prospector. And he's talking to his buddy, Gabby. They're sitting around the campfire. And over on the side is another cowboy playing a nice, soft, slow harmonica ballad.
Well, I went over in the woods while I go to take a dump, and I looked down on the ground, and I seen this thing, and I picked it up and brought it over. Gabby, got any idea what this damn thing is?
Well, I don't know what it is, Wally.
Audience loved it. Listen to him. Loved it.
Wow.
Now, our next scene is from a movie made up with Burt Lancaster. And there's a creek. It's a Western. And they're wondering if one of them is going to be able to swim across, because on the other side is a treasure. But the other two guys are too old, Gabby and Walter. They can't swim, so they're turning to their friend Bert and asking if he's capable of swimming across the creek. And he informs them that he's even capable of more than that. Mm. And now, remember the players, Walter Brennan, Gabby Hayes, and Bert Lancaster in the treasure.
Yeah, it's a pretty fast-moving stream. I know I'm too old to try to swim across here. I'd drown in about 2 minutes. How about you, Gabby?
Well, I don't know what it is, Roy.
Well, it's a stream. It's like a river. You're running. How about you, Bert? You think you'd be able to swim across here?
I could swim all the way home.
Same line he had in the movie called The Swimmer. Yeah. I just took it and incorporated it and used it in a new movie.
Brilliant.
It's called Recycling.
Yeah.
That movie, The Swimmer, was on AMC a couple weeks ago, and I watched part of it. I joined
it's got to be horrible.
It is the worst.
But you just watched it for that one line.
Oh, it is the worst movie that Burt Lancaster has ever done.
Let's try to do a movie right now, like make a movie with every character we think we can do.
Okay.
And I don't do many. Limey, you do something, some impression. Haven't you done something since you've been here in the way of like a voice or an impression?
No. Most of the time you just say, that's crap, don't do it again.
What if you played the part of a British guy?
I can do that.
Yeah. Now, who are you going to be? Let me think about this. You'll just be that British guy.
He'll be the butler.
Love it.
And we'll call you in the movie Bridget.
Bridget?
You'll be kind of like the punching bag because you're the odd guy in the group. The others are cowboys, but here's this British cowboy. He doesn't fit in, so they just call you Bridget. Now, in this scene, Dan, what other characters can we bring in here?
Mm.
Oh, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be in this.
Yeah.
So, let me set the scene. Again, around the campfire, harmonica playing softly in the background. Jack Nicholson's character will be called Jack. That's just so we can keep up with what we're doing here. It's Jack, Gabby, Walter, and their not-so-bright friend, the Bridget, the guy from overseas. It's just a part of, I'm not saying you're not bright, it's just a character in the movie. Okay, all right.
Well, looks like we're out of grub. We eat everything we had last night. There's not a damn thing around here to eat. Hey, Bridget, you got anything to eat in your saddlebags over there?
I don't have anything.
Yeah, not surprising. You probably eat it all yourself. You're selfish, Bridget. What about you, Gabby? Got anything to eat?
Well, I don't know what it is, Roy.
Jack, you stop playing that harmonica for a second. Maybe you got something to eat. Have we got any Hershey bars, anything? Some kind of candy or anything at all? We're going to starve to death out here.
I don't have a damn thing. I can go out and freaking shoot something, and then we can cook it up.
Wow, these are great movies. These are fantastic. Oh, now, more modern times. In this scene, still a Western. The only Western Tom Brokaw was ever cast in. The cowboys are tired and weary. Their horses are so tired they can't ride them anymore. They're leading them by the reins because the horses are just tired. And they come up on a guy who's a city slicker. And they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. That guy is played by Tom Brokaw.
Yeah, my horse is so damn tired, he can't even walk anymore. Not only can I not ride him, he can't walk. Got to stop here and rest, but looks like there's some kind of a stranger up ahead. Maybe I'm going to mosey on up there and see who he is. Gabby, are you able to walk a few more feet?
I don't know what it is, Roy.
How about you, Bridget? You walk a couple more feet? See where that character is up there?
I think I could make a couple more feet.
Maybe a horse can make it, too. Hey, stranger. What's your name?
That's Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
Now, that didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Western with Tom Brokaw from NBC Nightly News. But it was an excuse to do that.
And I gave you your horses some water.
Yeah, she was like, he's intoxicated. You know, he does, Brokaw does sound drunk, doesn't
yeah.
he? I mean, you got to give it to him. He had a long career. But he always, even as a younger, he sounds like he's slurring, like he's... The beautiful thing is, if Tom Brokaw were drunk on the job, you wouldn't know it.
No,
he could be drunk doing the news, and all right, you couldn't tell the difference because of the way he talks. So, good afternoon. Wow, we killed 20 minutes. That was good. Good afternoon. Welcome to the August 22nd edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Let me introduce the players in the room with me at the control board, the one and only Trevor Limestone Limey. Philip, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Oh, let's do it like the concert again. Like,
okay, right on.
Ladies and gentlemen from the United States of America, born here, went away for 19 years, bet he came back to this country on control board. It's Trevor Limestone Limey. Phillips.
Woohoo! Idiot.
Well, tomorrow night he'll be on the banjo, but tonight it's just him and his Gabby Hayes impression. Direct from Waterloo, Illinois, say hello to Ned Spurk.
You should do that and then add,
I don't know what that was.
And he's a St. Louis native. He's a member of the Sinbad 7 band. And
Southside. Oops. Oh, my God.
Say hello. On the yeah, the old band. On harmonica. From what part of town do you live in now?
Baldwin.
On harmonica from Baldwin, Missouri. Say hello to Dan Levi Strauss. All right, those are the players. And now, does anybody have anything to say?
Yeah, I got one thing.
All right. Ooh, your voice had a little gravel in it.
Yeah.
Right on.
Almost like you're developing a character. We could call him Mr. Throat Cancer. And that's what you're headed for if you keep going out back
with those cigarettes.
Smoking those cigarettes.
I blame Dan Strauss for influencing me to smoke more.
I got a feeling you smoked before you came here. And now, with a contribution to the Burke segment, I give you Limey Phillips.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Frank. Earlier, we looked at that video of these driverless delivery cars from Domino's Pizza, right?
We did off the air.
Of course.
Yeah, we did. You showed
so
it.
So this is a new thing that they're trying out in Miami. Apparently, they tried it in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that is
hang on a second. The Burke segment is, well...
The Burke segment has become awfully...
It can
flexible
be anything.
The past
okay,
couple of
okay.
months.
It can be anything. It started out as what happened to you
right.
since we were here yesterday. It doesn't
right.
have to be about you, so go ahead.
This is something that I saw on Facebook. And it is Domino's using driverless vehicles to deliver their pizzas. And they tried it out. It looks pretty cool. I don't think they're anywhere near to, you know, actually making this a thing. But eventually, you're not even, like, the job that teenagers had delivering pizzas will no longer be a thing. And then as soon as they take that out, people are talking about, everybody talks about how great Uber is, right? I reckon in about a decade or so.
Oh, you said I reckon. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a Southern thing.
Is that a Southern thing?
Yes. Yeah. Nobody here, that's just interesting that you did that. Nobody around here says, well, I reckon. When I was a kid in Tennessee, we said it, but it's interesting that you used that.
All right.
I reckon.
I've said that.
It's okay.
Sometimes.
I like it.
All right. Well, cool.
So you reckon what?
I reckon that Uber is going to be out of business within about 10 years or so because the driverless cars are going to become more of a thing. And, you know, the Uber company or corporation itself will be able to buy the vehicles, send out the taxis or the Uber drivers, and not even have somebody in there to actually drive it. So
they're not sending out drivers, they're sending out cars.
They're just sending out cars.
I say 10 years minimum. At least 10 years away, I think.
Between 10 and 20. Yeah, there we go. I think that's what it could do. And yeah, it was just a cool little video I saw that this.
Where can people see that video?
It is up on Facebook. I'll send it to Dan and he can put it on our Facebook page.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know what city that was in. It was in this country.
It was.
And they actually, you'll see a car with no driver mm-hmm. pull up to a neighborhood home delivering a pizza. Mm-hmm. They walk up to the car. There's a keypad.
Yeah, you have to enter the last four digits of your phone number in the video. And then the
window comes down, yeah, window and you can down. Reach in and get your pizza. Wow. In other words, to keep just anybody from getting it, you mm-hmm. have to have your code. And then once you enter it, and maybe it's a code that's issued with the order. That
maybe.
Could be, too. The window goes down, and there's your pizza. And then the car drives away by itself.
So they're already working on getting rid of pizza delivery drivers.
No, you know what's been happening? The world is working on getting rid of people.
Yeah.
True.
That's what's happening.
Look at the grocery stores, and a lot of the other stores have those self-checkout things mm-hmm. now.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Dan, that's been around for
no, I know, but
10
that,
years.
That gets rid of how many...
It's now, but they're now like revolutionizing self-checkout, if you will. Before it was just, you know, you had the little screen and a tiny little place to put your basket.
Right.
Now you can get ones where there's like a full conveyor belt. Like mm-hmm. you just load it up,
yeah.
you go stand at the
Whoa.
End, and then you check out everything as you're
wow.
going.
Whoa.
Yeah, so. But no, just, yeah. That,
you
I think
said
we're
that
getting...
like Paul McCartney was anything.
Yeah.
No, anything.
Anything.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, watch that, folks. Look for that. It'll be up shortly.
I'll send it to Dan now.
By the night, it will certainly be up. And see what... Take a look at the future. Pizza delivery with no driver. Then there's nobody to rob.
Right.
You know? That takes kind of the fun out of it.
Yeah,
kidding,
and I guess,
kidding,
I guess you would have to pay with a card.
Yes,
because you
swipe,
can do that now.
Yes, or Apple Pay or whatever.
Yeah, like
you pay before you, when you order.
And then they come and pick it up and boom, there's your food.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't surprise me if the car isn't equipped with something externally where you can just hold your phone up to it and pay if you haven't paid
yeah.
already. Anything else, Limestone?
No, I've got nothing else interesting going on.
Okay. Anybody else, Burke segment?
No,
I've got a little something. I think it didn't just happen to me yesterday, but
well, that's okay.
Did
Ned Spurk, everybody, welcome.
Thank you. Is anybody in here when you were in school?
Yes.
When you
yes,
you were in school. When you were part of the Burke, so when you developed the Burke segment, did anybody have a really, really good looking teacher?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Man, I did.
Yeah, Mrs. Sims,
yes.
French
Who?
Teacher. Mrs. Sims, French
yeah.
teacher.
Ooh. I had a gal that was a biology teacher, and she really pretty, and she threw me out of biology class just for being stupid. Mm. You know, it was a biological question. I think.
I mean, threw you out for that day,
just
or
for
the
day.
Whole, okay,
just for the day. She said, if a regularly pigmented woman married an albino man, mm-hmm. and they had 8 kids, what would they be? And I said, Catholic.
Why? It's not that fun.
Wow.
And she said, okay, come here. So when we went down to the counselor's office, and she came down later.
Is this a true story?
This is a true story. She came down later, and she said, you just can't be disrupted like that. I think that was funny, but you can't be disrupted.
Did she say she thought it was funny?
She said, I thought it was funny.
That's good.
At the end of the year, and you know how there have been a rash of kids that have had affairs with teachers and stuff.
Yeah, that happened.
I thought maybe I could have been the first one. Because this was 63, and she was really pretty. And she, at the end of the year, everybody had those wallet-sized photos. And she gave me one that said, Love, Kathy.
Whoa!
Yes, that's a green light.
That was a green light. And this was the end of my senior year, and I had not had a relationship with anybody at
so
that point.
So you were like 22.
Oh, yeah. I was gifted. But I had no relationship with anybody, and I had never done the deed, as they say. But that year, that summer, is when I did have my first encounter with a woman.
Was it with her?
No, wasn't with her. But, you know, I was kind of wishing it was. But my buddy and I had a girl, and he said, you know, I'm going to take her out, and I think I can go all the way with her. And I said, no, you can't do that.
And does anybody use that anymore?
All the way.
All the way.
I don't think so.
That was a great expression.
Yeah. It was.
Well,
it went all the way. Now there's more ways, I think.
I don't think they use it now.
No.
So I said, I could, though. I said, she really likes me.
Yeah.
And so he took her out. No action. I took her out, and I knew she liked me. So I stopped at the what was then the Standard station on Manchester.
for rubbers?
Bought some condoms.
Then they were rubbers.
They were rubbers. I bought a pack of rubbers.
Right. Still call them rubbers.
And you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do they in Great Britain?
I may have told you this, but I put the condom. I was so sure. I put the condom on before I picked her up.
You did?
I did. What? I absolutely did. I put it on in the station. And I picked her up, and we went out, and we went back to my house, and we started having fun, and it was the strangest look I've ever seen in anybody's eyes. She finally just looked at me, and she said, "How did you do that?"
Well, yeah, how did you?
And that was a stumbling block. I mean, I didn't know how to answer that. I mean, I'm an amateur magician. I didn't know what to say, but I did that.
No, you have a better story.
I do?
Yes, if you don't mind telling it.
I probably do.
And I remember it, and it's when, and folks, and I'm pretty sure this was you that told me this, this could be one of the worst, most awkward situations.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The dad that caught you?
Oh, yeah.
With his daughter?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Let him. This is so good. This is good.
Well, it's not much more detailed than that. We were on this young lady's back, screened-in back porch, and she said, "Did you hear something?" I said, "No, I didn't."
Now you were doing it.
You guys were doing it.
Yeah, we were doing it. And both her mom and dad walked in. And we were both completely naked.
Oh. Oh my goodness! I didn't remember both of them walked in. I mean, and there they are looking at you with their daughter, and you both have no clothes on.
Absolutely naked.
What did you say?
I have no idea. I don't remember what I said.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. I mean, oh my goodness. How old was she?
She was
12.
No.
Now that's not funny.
She wasn't that old. Yeah. No, she was 18. Yeah.
Sure she was.
In a very nice neighborhood in Webster Groves. Oh. Oh, now I'm starting to get flashbacks.
Do you know, if you think about it, over the years, how many guys did it with girlfriends who were like 16? They could have gone to jail.
Oh, everybody did except me.
Not me.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Not me either.
I didn't. But they could all seriously have gone to jail.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even though it was consensual. A lot of guys escaped a horrible fate. If they wanted to, the parents could have, pressed charges.
But
whatever.
Even if you're 16? If you're 16
and
she's 16?
I think, no. 15, for sure, it doesn't matter. It's still statutory rape. It is.
Absolutely.
But, the question, did you have a hot teacher? I had a homeroom. Anybody remember homeroom?
Sure.
Yeah. Have home?
Oh, yeah.
I had a homeroom teacher. And homeroom was nothing more than you go there and you sit for an hour and you're supposed to study.
Right.
And
do homework.
The homeroom teacher, she was just so. And again, to us, she was that older woman. She's probably 28. I mean, like 30 maybe. But. And I think she did this deliberately in the summer because we didn't have air conditioning. She'd wear sheer blouses where you could see her bra. You know what I'm talking about? Through the blouse.
Nice.
And then when you're like a 16, 17-year-old boy,
big deal.
When you see a bra through a sheer blouse, that's practically nudity.
Oh, yeah.
It's all you need to get you going. And I would just sit there fantasizing about her. Now, I do have a great teacher story. And I've told it a couple of times. I would like to tell it again because I'm sort of proud of it. And it has to do with, I'll just tell you the story. I'm not going to give anything away. I took typing in high school. Did you take typing?
Yes.
Limestone? Did you take any kind of keyboard lessons?
Yeah, IT computer class.
They didn't call it typing.
No.
They call it keyboard or something.
It was just keyboards.
Dan, you ever take typing in high school?
Not until college.
Well, in high school I did, and there were only two guys in this class. It was a junior year, and there were just two of us because we knew, hey, it'll be all girls in typing. This will be pretty fun. And so I didn't take it real seriously like I should have because I was just in there because it's where girls were. But you still had to type, and you hopefully would pass the class. And I wish I could remember this woman's name. She was, I think her first name was Alice. but I don't remember her last name. And Alice is the perfect name, because Alice is, she looked like an Alice. She wasn't attractive at all. And the last day of school, do you remember the grade books? And they'd open the grade book, and there'd be a lot of little checkered. And they have grades for this test and that. And then all the way at the end would be your average final grade. It was a grade book. So on the last day of my junior year, this was the day where, before we leave for the summer, you find out your final grade. So at the end of the class, she said, the grades will be posted later today outside, so have a good summer. But as people are filing out, she said, could I see you for just a couple of minutes? Now, when the teacher, at the end of a class, everybody files out, says, could you hold? That's usually not good.
Not a good
thing.
They usually
don't ask you to stay, and they close the door so they can tell you what a great student you are. So she asks, she says, come over here to the desk. And I go over to the desk, and she opens the grade book. And here's every student in the typing class and our grades. And at the end is your final grade. And she said, and folks, this is absolutely true. She said, you ended up with a 64. 65 would have been passing. That's the D minus you need to pass. And I missed it by one grade point. So I failed typing, which means if you want the credit, you got to do it again. Take it next year. With the door closed and just us there, she said, your grade is a 64. She said, here's what we're going to do, and this will be our little secret. She took an eraser, mm-hmm. and she erased it and changed it to a 65. She said, you just passed typing. And I said, why? Thank you. And she says, oh, no. Don't thank me. She says, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. She said, because I know that if I don't do this, I have you again next year. And she said, the thought of having you in here another year. She says, I couldn't deal with it.
Oh, my.
She said, so what you need to understand is I'm doing this to get rid of you. I don't want you in here next year, so this will be our seat. And I passed. I passed typing by the 1 point because she couldn't stand me. Yeah, thank you.
Do you remember the line they kept making you type over and over again? The quick brown fox
jumped over the
lazy red dog or whatever.
And it's supposed to include every letter.
All the letters.
And it was something like the quick brown fox, jumped over the something. Wow, I do remember that.
Man.
And then they'd time you. She'd start, go! And you had so many minutes to type, so many, and then you averaged out how many words per minute you typed, and you were allowed three mistakes something, and there'd be a bell. Ding! Time's up!
You can
push away from the typewriter.
You can take those typewriting tests online now.
Yeah.
And I thought I was doing pretty well, but apparently I only type like 30 or 40 words a minute.
That's not bad. 40's not
bad. That's not bad.
That's not great, though.
But that's not bad.
It used to
be. What do you think the average person knocks out on a keyboard without any mistakes?
You think average? I think between 60 and 70.
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Try it. You try it tonight.
You think, like, you know, receptionists or whatnot, or secretaries that have to type there, they can do, like, you know, 90 to 100 in a minute. Like, easy.
I took typing and didn't do that poorly, but I still...
I'm one finger thing.
I'm terrible.
I can actually type with full because I took I took typing.
Even on a keyboard that you don't have to push anything down?
Oh, yeah.
Because like the touchpad keyboards and
stuff.
I can't do
it. But here's the thing is... what people like Limey will never get to see is a really good secretary. It was something to watch a great secretary. I mean, when she hit that typewriter, and she moved that carriage, and I mean, buddy, there was no mistake.
Yeah.
She typed, and that's why she got the job as executive secretary. She might make one mistake and then use the correct type of tape or whatever. But, man, that was something to watch a really good typist.
Remember when you'd do it and screw it up and all the keys would end up knotted up
together
at the top?
Yeah. Yes, they'd all clog together. And then along came The IBM Selectric.
Oh, yeah.
That ball. Remember that ball?
Yeah, the little thing you put on, snap it down.
And then when you type, that ball would just twist and turn and flip and roll, and all the letters were on that ball. And I thought, this is unbelievable.
It's a miracle.
Like a miracle.
Really?
And then they came out with a typewriter that had the correcting tape built in the ribbon.
Oh, yeah.
You back up.
The what?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Correct the mistake.
Whiteout stuff.
Oh,
you
okay.
And it was right on the ribbon. You could back up and hit it, and it'd cover your letter.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Cover your mistake.
All right. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good talking about the old days, ain't it?
Man, I don't know.
All right. Do some business. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take some calls. It's Wednesday. Dr. Doug comes in today. He and Ned should have a lot to talk about because Ned and his wife, Jennifer, own Howliday Inn Kennel over in Waterloo. Yeah. So you and Doug should have some dog talking.
It'll be fun.
So he'll be at 4 o'clock hour. If you have a pet, get ready to call and ask Dr. Doug pretty much anything. And the advice is, as always, free. When Dr. Doug comes on, he'll be brought to you by Window World. So why don't we just talk about Window World for a second? Here's what I think you need to know. One, Window World is a tremendous part of this show. They sponsor Dr. Doug. They sponsor Dan Buffa. They sponsor Taylor Nickerson. They sponsor Bill Cleveland. You get the idea? Sponsor a lot of stuff here. Now, they don't just sponsor segments. They sell windows. They sell the number one selling replacement window in the United States. How did you get to be the number one, and I don't mean barely number one, I mean number one by a long shot, where number two is not even a close second. How do you get there in just 15 years? You do it by offering a window that is a good, solid, dependable window, so good they can put a lifetime warranty on it, and you do it at a beyond reasonable price. I mean, it's called value. Great product, great price equals value. That's how you do it. And you find a way to do it so that you never have to dial back the quality. You can keep the price low. And that's what they've done. And that's why in 15 years, by the way, they were number one before they were around 15 years. They were number one when they'd been around 12 or 13 years. It's Window World. So to those of you who have been in a house long enough, it's time to replace the windows, whether it's 2 windows or 10 windows or 25 windows. I ask the same question. Why would you not take a look at the window that is sold more as a replacement window than any other window in the United States? And the answer is there's no reason you wouldn't do that, especially if you're AM and the PM. If you want to know more, go to windowworldstlouis.com.
Get a check on traffic. Here's Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by A Simple Favor in theaters September 14th. Accident eastbound 64 east of Hanley. Westbound traffic, you're slowing for a look and backing up southbound 170 at Del Mar. Accident eastbound 270 before Washington Elizabeth. You can expect delays at McDonald and construction again this afternoon in the left lane eastbound 64 at Greenmount Road. A Simple Favor in theaters September 14th. Emily Nelson is missing. She's 5 feet 10 inches with blonde hair and blue eyes and a slim build. The mystery behind her disappearance will keep you guessing until the end. A Simple Favor in theaters September 14th. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com. Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
That's Kiss, and the reason I play it is I think the guy name was John yesterday that called and said, did you see the Gene Simmons interview? So last night I watched the Gene Simmons interview with Dan Rather, and he was right. I have a whole new respect for Gene Simmons. Have you seen this thing?
No.
No.
Well, go to YouTube, type in Dan Rather, Gene Simmons. It's about 43 minutes long without the commercials. And wow, what an interview. Now, I asked Limey to play a Kiss song. For the life of me, Dan, help me out. There's a Kiss song that everybody knows, and I can't think of the name of it.
It's not Shout It Out Loud, is it?
No, it's a rock anthem.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Is that what it's called?
Rock and roll all night.
Rock and roll. Who did we?
Rock and roll.
No, that's it. That's it.
Every day.
Find that. That's the one I was trying to think of. I just want to rock and roll all night. Yeah that's the
it.
One. Play a little of that thing.
All right, we got that.
Gene Simmons, if you don't know, is the bass player for Kiss and the guy with the longest tongue in the group.
Maybe in the world.
Singing. Is that Stanley or is that who is that?
I don't know. I don't know if that was
Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were the founders of Kiss.
Yeah, it might be Paul Stanley.
And what's interesting, this guy, I'm not giving a lot away. You still need to see the interview. Hey, crank it up. Crank it. There it is. Talks in the interview about starting the band and why they did the costumes and the music was the way it was, the pyrotechnic. He said we didn't want to be just another formula band that sort of did what everybody else did, so we decided, what can we do that would make parents hate us, and the kids love us. So, because not what your parents would want to listen to or look at, and buddy, they pulled it off. And he was asked the question. What happened was, after I watched the Dan Rather thing, I ended up watching about four interviews with Gene Simmons. Because if you go to YouTube, there's all kinds of interviews with this guy. And while he's an egomaniac and he's pompous and he's arrogant, but he's also brilliant. He speaks five languages fluently.
Phew.
And he's a brilliant businessman, and he's super rich. And one of the interviewers said, and maybe it was Rather, I don't remember, said, how do you explain your tremendous success and success over decades, yet you've not had that many hits. And his answer was brilliant. He said, it's actually kind of easy to have a few hits. But he said, look at how many groups there are that had a few hits and they're gone and they're done. And he starts naming one-hit wonders, songs that were huge hits, yet you can't name three other songs the bands did. He said, so it's not about having hits, it's about staying power and merchandising. They own the rights. Gene Simmons owned the rights to over 5,000 items with Kiss on it. Oh, from T-shirts to keychains to dolls to pillows to 5,000 Kiss things that he owns the rights to. That's, this guy knows how to make money. He has invested $10 million in a company called Invictus. They're in the cannabis business.
Oh.
He's real smart to get in on that. And he is not a druggie. He doesn't, he's not, he said, I've never been drunk, I've never been high. He said, I don't do that. He said, but all these years, I was wrong about cannabis. He said, and like a lot of us, including me, you grew up thinking, oh my goodness, smoking pot's like the worst thing in the world you could do. And so you're going to be end up a drug addict. And he said, the more you learn and read and know about something, sometimes you realize you really didn't know much at all. And when you do understand it, he said, I can see the future and the present of where cannabis is and where it's going to go. He said, so I, without batting an eye, wrote a check for $10 million to invest in this company because he says, I like their business model and I like what it is that they're going to be doing. And then the interviewer said, so you think maybe you might take a hit or two and try a little pot? He goes, well, I just might. After learning what I've learned. And he talks about his mother a lot and how they came over here when he was 8 from Israel, and they were immigrants. And his mother grew up as a young woman in concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and she was, worked there. They didn't execute her, but she managed to get out and get away. And when they came over here, she didn't speak any English. She was just Hebrew, or I'm not real. I guess, is that what you call?
I believe so. Yeah.
And he now he speaks 5 languages, and man, he just told some powerful, powerful stories about how he feels about illegal immigrants. He said he did it the legal way, and that's the way it should be done. And there's no excuse. He makes it very clear, and he makes no apologies for saying that if you're going to come over here and you're going to live in America and be an American, then learn how to speak GD English. I mean, he's yeah, very no clear kidding. About it. He says, learn, just when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in America, speak English.
Yeah.
And he's unapologetic. He is... I was beyond impressed.
He's
this
very straightforward
yeah.
with things.
Whether you agree with him or not, yeah. He's done something right, and he does not like people who use as an excuse, I grew up without a daddy, or he said nobody grew up poorer than we were or under worse conditions. He says, my dad, his dad left them when he was a little kid, and he never saw his dad again, ever, yet he sent him a check every month and paid for his dad's life till he died.
Wow.
And never saw him, never laid eyes on him. Wouldn't have even known him if he saw him, yet he felt this obligation to take care of his dad when he realized his dad was an alcoholic or whatever, and just was never going to amount to anything. He just figured, well, I'll give him a place to live and some food and a car and whatever he needs until he dies. And I thought that was interesting because he certainly didn't owe it to his dad. And he talks about showing his mother a check, his first really big check when he made it big. And the check was to him for $10 million.
Wow.
And he said, here's the kind of work ethic my mother had. You never rest. You never settle. You keep going. He shows her this check, and she says, okay, what are you going to do now? Like, now what? Are you just going to give up and quit and be lazy? Or let's go. What are you going to do next? She wanted to know what's next. And he said that's the kind of driving work ethic that he's always had. And, boy, does he not have time for lazy people or people who want to feel they're entitled or want to just go on welfare and sit back and watch TV all day. He has no time for that. Pretty interesting. So, Gene Simmons, thank you, John, for recommending that. I told you I would watch it, and I did last night, and I'm glad I did.
And Garth Brooks got a lot of his stuff from Kiss. That was one of his favorite bands.
His stage
stuff. All of his stage.
Showmanship. Yeah. Yeah. If you'd like to... we didn't close the Burke. Dan, did you have anything for the Burke?
No.
Did we finish the Burke site?
I believe so.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Let's close it. Burke segment's officially closed. If there's anything that you're just dying to ask us or share with us, you've just enough time for a couple of you to get through here. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Later on today, we'll talk a little bit about this girl they found that was jogging. And you know what really burns me up? And then we'll take a couple of calls. I picked up USA Today this morning, and I looked at the front page, and there was nothing on there about that girl. It was all Trump bashing. And I don't care if it's been Trump bashing or Trump praising. For goodness sakes. Not room on the front page anywhere for the story of this girl. And then I watched the Today Show, and they opened the Today Show, and it's several minutes before they get to this girl.
Right.
And how this illegal immigrant killed her, just brutally killed. I have some advice for any woman who goes jogging by herself. Carry a gun. If this girl had a gun, because she knew this guy was stalking her. He's already fessed up. He took him to the body. He said, yeah, I followed her. Yeah. He's told him everything. And he said that she turned around and said, leave me alone or I'm going to call the police. Well, guess what? That didn't work. Now, if she had turned around and said, if you take another step toward me, I'm going to blow your brains out, she'd be alive today. Ladies, get yourself a gun and carry it and know how to use it and know how to get access to it and use it within about 2 seconds if you need to. I am a man, okay? I'm a pretty good-sized guy, yet I have a gun on me everywhere I go where I think there might be the slightest chance that some moron would come along and want to screw with me. For goodness sakes, if you're going to go jogging, especially if you're a woman, and somebody go, well, how about some mace or pepper spray? Okay, if that's what you want to rely on, that's fine, but you better use it effectively and at a pretty good distance, because if you mess it up, they're going to take it and use it on you. Don't let them get close enough to take a gun away. You know if somebody is up to no good when you're out and you're a woman jogging, especially when you've warned them, I know you're following me, back off. And if they don't, before they get within 10 feet of you, put a bullet right between their eyes. This girl would be alive today if she'd been packing just a small gun.
You did have a situation, didn't you?
I had two.
The one I'm thinking of is when the car broke down.
No, it didn't break down.
Or
the rest stop.
Yeah, you were at a rest stop.
Yeah. Twice in my life, a gun saved my life. And then when that happens to you, never again will you listen to anybody who wants to argue with you about nobody needs to have guns. Don't try that with me, because I'll tell you my story about how I wouldn't have made it to the age of 30 if I hadn't had a gun one night at a rest stop. And then a second time in my life, and I was 50, early 50s maybe. And it happened again, where I am absolutely convinced if I hadn't had one. So that's all. I'm not a proponent of everybody shooting everybody, but I am a proponent of being able to defend yourself, especially if you are a young woman, an older person, There are just evil, mean people out there. There just are. And you don't know where they are. And you don't know if they're watching. In a lot of cases, these people are being watched. Somebody watches them. They know their pattern, their habits. They know when they leave the house. They know where they go. They know where they jog. So just give that some thought. It's not that big a deal. And most of the women that I know who thought they were afraid of guns, once they get the right one, and they fire it a few times, and they get comfortable with it, they're glad they did it. And it's such a great feeling to know that you are just a couple of inches away from being able to save your own life, where if you don't have anything, you're at the mercy of some piece of garbage with a knife or whatever he has. We take a quick call. It'll have to be a quick one from Richard. Richard, welcome to 590 The Fan. I got about a minute and a half. What's up?
Okay, Frank. My first request is, after the break, if you could repeat those stories, because I missed those times when you described how a gun saved your life.
I'll only tell one. I don't want to make this a big gun show, because there are people that hate guns, but I will, when we come back, I will tell you one of them. I'll tell you the one, the rest area when I was in my 20s. I'll tell that one.
Okay, and then the other thing is, you're right about MSNBC's two lead stories today. The first one was how the cops caught the Molly Tibbetts murder. They didn't mention he's an illegal immigrant. The second story they focused on that was their lead was the killer of Molly Tibbetts works for a farm owned by GOP.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
You've got to be kidding me.
I saw that, too.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nope. Wow. Unbelievable.
Thanks.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah. Okay, I'll retell this story for Richard. Now it is my great honor to talk to you about where I do my banking. I do my banking at First Community Credit Union. I was in there today. I was in there before I came here today. Went in to cash a check. I'm a gambler. And when you gamble, you need a little cash. So I went in there, and I said hello to Sue, and I said hello to Ashwini, the beautiful girl behind the counter, and to Casey, and to Karen, who is the manager there. How many names of the people do you know where you bank? Probably none. Unless you have a business and you have a business banking relationship and there's somebody there who is your sort of representative. How about that? I can name you probably seven or eight people where I bank. My point is this. It's a very friendly place and it's a very comfortable place to bank. But that's not what's really important to you. What's important is rates, and they have them, and they have competitive rates, whether it's money you're borrowing or money you're saving. I would highly recommend that you think about changing where you do your banking. And I know it's not a priority or a big deal, but you'll be really glad you did. This is a terrific place to be.